Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad you're with us today. I've got something I want to talk to you about that pierced my heart 2 weeks ago. I call it That One Thing. That One Thing. And I'll give you a little hint that it's that one thing that's standing between you and a close relationship with your Heavenly Father, with your Lord and Savior. And I want to talk about that today. First, let me just remind you, 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. You can check us out on our website, www.721ministries.com. .org. Now that's the numbers, 721ministries.org. And you'll find a lot of things there. You'll find a Putting Green blog where we write articles about what we're talking about on the radio show today and many other topics. You'll see past radio shows. You'll see some videos you can take a look at. Check it out, 721ministries.org. And I know you've got a lot going on. I know you've got different things pressing in on you and you're a little distracted and busy, but could I just ask you to slow down for a minute and block out some of that and listen to what your Heavenly Father might be saying, will say to your heart if you give Him the opportunity. What I'm going to talk about today, I think 20% of you listening will get it. And the other 80% will get some degree of it, and you'll say, yeah, that's good, and I'll think about that sometime, but it's not going to resonate with your heart. And if you're distracted, or if you're thinking about other things, you will definitely be in that 80%. But the 20% that listen and get it, and God pierces your heart like He did mine 2 weeks ago, I will be so bold as to say, it'll change your life. It'll change your life, and it'll certainly change your walk with your Heavenly Father, that one thing. If you're listening, really tune in, because I know, you know, and I know that He can speak to your heart and there's something He wants to say to you. So, let me just set the stage for, we've been talking for several weeks about fear. We started with the idea of freedom and how Jesus said, look, I've come to give you freedom. Galatians 5:1 is for freedom that Christ sets you free. Stand firm then and do not allow yourself to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We started talking about the freedom that we can have walking with Christ, but we quickly moved to the fact that we don't typically have that freedom. We allow ourselves to be mastered by certain things, and therefore we become a slave to those things. And one of the big deals in this world, in this culture, in your life is fear. You are mastered by fear. You're a slave to fear. Our culture is, it's rampant. It's always around. Certainly now it's got its where everyone is seeing it, but it's always there. Satan uses it. He can distract you. He can trip you up. He can discourage you. He can run you around in circles. Remember Satan's three D's. He wants to destroy you. When you're in a relationship with Christ, he cannot do that. He's lost that battle. Then he'll seek the rest of your life to distract you and discourage you. Distract you and discourage you. Destroy, distract, discourage. And he uses fear so often with that. Jesus said, no, I don't want you to be afraid. How many times do you remember him saying, don't be afraid? And in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about what does the fear of the Lord mean? And certainly you're never to be afraid of your Heavenly Father. But the fear of the Lord means reverence and respect for him. And a great saying is recognition of who he is leads to reverence for who he is, leads to submission to who he is. Recognition of leads to reverence for, leads to submission to. And when you submit, you are surrendering. And when you surrender to your Heavenly Father, you've run that master, that thing that you're a slave to, out of your life. Well, that one thing that I want to talk about today is a part of that whole idea of something having a mastery over you and the freedom that Christ can give you from that one thing. So now just listen. 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting in a dinner conversation with five or six guys, all about my age, early 50s. And we're talking, and most of these guys are really passionately pursuing Christ. Almost all of us, if not all of us, are really passionately pursuing Christ. I mean, we're faulty, of course, but we really love the Lord. And one of the guys said, you know, I wish I had the passion that some of you guys have. And I pray for it. But I don't have it. I don't have the passion you have. And what do I do to get it? And then we kept talking about a lot of different things. And then the question came up, you know, what is all this about denying yourself? Denying things, because he said, one of the guys said, for instance, Tim Tebow, who is the University of Florida quarterback, going pro, going to make millions of dollars, real outspoken Christian, loves the Lord, never passes up an opportunity from the heart to talk about his relationship with Christ. What about that guy? He's getting ready to make millions and millions and millions. Does he have to give that up? I mean, can he have all those millions and still follow Christ? And then, the next question was, can you really have that intimate relationship? Or will all that stuff ultimately get in the way? And one of the guys said, I think it does get in the way. And I know he didn't mean this, but you can mistakenly hear that and say, so I got to get rid of it. Well, no, you just want to be very much acutely aware that it can get in the way, and it can cause you to sacrifice your intimacy with Jesus. What is all this thing about denying that we hear, and what does it mean? Jesus said in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, notice that Jesus did not say, you must deny yourself things. He said, you must deny self. Well, now, if you're taking a deep breath over that and saying, thank goodness, just hold on a minute, because it's a much deeper issue. And it's a little more thorny. It is much, much deeper to think about denying self instead of denying yourself things. That may be part of denying self. But what does it mean? What does it look like in our day-to-day life? Now, I want to keep setting the table for this so I can pull it all together. As we kept talking, one of the gentlemen at the table said, guys, I don't think it's about the stuff that you have, although it could be. But I think each one of us at this table, and here's where we'd really drill down, folks, to that one thing. If you're listening, listen closely. He said, I don't think it's about all the stuff that's floating around in your life. He said, I think each one of us sitting at this table tonight knows that there's one thing that's getting in the way of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. One thing. Oh, sure, there's a lot of things, and I mean, believe me, Sam could tell you a lot of stuff about myself that I know is not pleasing to my Heavenly Father, and I seek to grow more holy and closer to Him and remove those things from my life. But I know, as soon as he said it, I sat there and I said, oh my gosh, I know exactly what he's talking about. And I wish you could have been sitting at the table, because there were a couple of groans from these men when we each realized he's right. There's one thing right now in your life. You know what it is. I don't have to know. I know what it is from my life. And then came the challenge. One of the other guys at the table said, okay, if we all know what it is, let's write it down. Let's write it down and let's get back together in about 3 or 4 months and let's see how we're doing. We won't look at it. Only the person that writes it down will know, but writing it down, see, now I got to tell you, I didn't want to write it down. Will you write it down? Because I didn't want to. Because when I start talking about putting it on a sheet of paper and my pen is in my hand and I'm looking down at that napkin and I'm going, if I write it down, I got to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to commit, because if I commit, I have to take that one thing and attack it and kick it out of my life. And just by the way, I have confessed to a couple of my buddies what my one thing was, and they went, that's nothing. What about that other thing in your life? And I said, no, I got to tell you, I know that didn't please me to my Heavenly Father, but that isn't the one thing. And so, see, for you, you know what the one thing is. God's speaking to your heart right now, telling you what that one thing is. It doesn't have to be a neon light sin. It doesn't have to be a bad habit, although it could be. It's in your heart, and you know it, and I know it. And I got to tell you, I didn't want to write it down. I had to write it down, though. I cannot fool myself. I cannot be dishonest with myself, and certainly not with my Heavenly Father. One of the men sitting there said, I don't, guys, I need some time. I can't write it down. I got too many things I need to sort through what that one thing is, and there's just too many little things buzzing around. And about 2 minutes later, he said, no, I don't need any more time. I know exactly what it is. And you know exactly what it is. And I tie this back to my friend originally saying, I wish I had more passion. I wish I had more passion to follow Christ like you guys do, but I don't. So I want to tie it together. I want to ask you, is there something in your spiritual life that's lacking? Do you wish you had more of something, or you had a deeper of some area, or you just improved in some area? And I almost want to laugh and go, ha, where do you want me to start? But no, I mean, really, let's drill down. Do you wish you had more passion pursuing Jesus? Or maybe you'd like to read the Scriptures more. Or maybe let's put it this way. You'd like to read the Scriptures more. You wish you had more of a passion to get up and actually read God's Word. And maybe you wish that when you were reading it, you had more clarity with it. Maybe you wish you had a deeper connection with the Lord, or that you could sense His presence more. Maybe you wish your trust was stronger. I wrote down a few things that the men were talking about this past week. Wish I could pray more and pray with a better sense that God's around. I wish I could love more. One of the men said, how do I love God? I wish I could actually love God. Another man said, I'd like to know His will. I'd like to hear Him. You know, I was thinking, I wish that I could see people in a light most favorable to them. That everybody I run into, everybody I encounter, even the people that let me down, even the people that frustrate me or get in the way of something I think I gotta have, or just the person at the clerk at the store, I wish I could see everybody, view everyone in a light most favorable to them. How are we going to do these things? How are you going to have more love for God? You can't manufacture that. How are you going to have more passion or get more clarity when you're reading Scripture? How are you going to do those things? Because what we're really talking about is a heart change. You might be in a marriage that's so unhappy, and you just will not look at her in a light most favorable. She doesn't deserve it. Dadgummit, I'm not going to do it. That might be your one thing. See, what we're talking about today is blocking that passion that you so want, or that clarity that you so want, or knowing God's will. It's blocking that. Now, let me be sure you understand. It could be blocking your salvation. There could be that one thing that's actually blocking your salvation. You could be in church. Listen, I meet with people all the time that are in church. They have gone forward. They have been baptized. They've even been dunked. They've made a confession of faith in front of the church, and I sit down and we talk for a little while, and we both come to the realization they are not saved. So don't fool yourself. There could be one thing that's actually blocking your salvation. But if you've already had your salvation and you're walking in that relationship and you want more passion, you want more clarity, you want to sense His presence, you want to know His will, this is the thing that's getting in the way. And it's been my experience, and I've lived it and I've seen it, that when we take that one thing that's in the way and we attack it and we force it out, we will not put up with it any longer, then God comes around from a different direction. You don't even see it happening, and all of a sudden you've got more clarity. You've got more passion. You actually learn to love Him. And it wasn't anything you did in your own power. It's that deny of self that you took that one thing, and you said, I'm not going to let it be a master over me 1 minute longer. I'm going to attack it. I'm going to fight it. I'm not going to do it. God's going to have to help me, but I'm resolute to do my part. What is that one thing for you? What is that one thing that's weighing in, that's pressing in on your heart that you know? Now, in the second half of the show, I want to talk about a few scriptural examples, and I want to talk a little more about what that one thing is. We'll be right back straight ahead with more. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us, and we're talking about something that has the potential to change your life, to change your walk with your Lord, to change the way you move through this life day to day. It all falls under the umbrella of denying self. But always remember, God is not looking to prohibit you from having fun. He's looking to protect you from the things that we think are fun, that we think will bring us happiness, that we think are good for us. And God is going, you know, that's not. And what I'm talking about today is that one thing that's in your life that God is pressing in on you. It doesn't have to be a habit. It doesn't have to be an activity or an action, although it can be. It can be a state of the heart. I will not forgive. I will not look favorably upon that person. I will not be able to think favorably upon myself. There's one thing that's standing between you and your Heavenly Father. It could be standing between you and your salvation. But it's also always standing between you and a deeper relationship. Think about what Jesus said right after He said, whoever would come after me must deny himself. He said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. You see, this one thing is what I'm talking about, finding your life, finding that passion, finding that desire to read Scripture, that clarity that comes knowing God's will. Do you know you can actually move through life day to day knowing God's will, sensing His will? When you start moving out, and when I start moving these things out, these one things, one at a time, there'll be a big one thing later. That is part of the sanctification process, but don't come back to me and say, oh, I got too many things. I can't write down one thing because there's one thing pressing in. You can get to those other things later. And like I say, the one thing that I felt God pressing in on my heart that night when I confessed to a couple of friends, I thought that, well, that's not a very big deal. There are other things in your life that are bigger deal. And I said, maybe, but that's where God is pressing in. And since then, 2 weeks later, I have knocked that thing out of my life, and I plan on keeping it out of my life. And I just have already begun to sense this peace and a little more clarity. And I know that's what God does. So is there an area in your life that you are lacking? Because what I think Jesus is saying on some levels with this save his life and lose it for me, we'll find it. If you're trying to hold on to something, if you're trying to save your life by holding on to this one thing, then you're going to lose it. And you're in the process of losing it right now. Now, keep in mind, again, it could be a good thing in your life. It could be a not so bad thing. It could be, I'm going to play golf every Saturday, despite what my children are doing today. It could be girls' night out. Well, I mean, that's okay. It could be having that little emotional affair with him or her that, you know, you haven't done anything physical, and we're just going to lunch, and everybody goes to lunch. It could be working a lot instead of being at home with your husband or your wife. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. And again, it's not strictly habits or actions. But let me tell you what it always is. It's always my claim to my right to myself. That's Oswald Chambers over and over. My claim to my right to myself. That's what it is, and that's where Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to have that relationship with me, you have to deny that claim to my right to myself. You know, he goes on to say, what good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world? If you get everything that you think you're trying to save and hold on to, yet you lose your soul. You lose your life. So my friend who wants more passion, I can tell you where you start. You start by looking inside and seeing what is that one thing that's getting in the way. What is that one thing that I really, honestly, I can't live without it. Or I don't want to live without it. Or life won't be as happy if I live without it. That's what you hear. That's the voice you hear. That is a lie. God is saying, no, you don't know the riches I have for you. You don't know the depth I have for you. Waiting when you start knocking these one things out. Let me give you a couple of examples from Scripture. Big story that we all know, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, how do I earn my way into heaven? And Jesus says, well, I can see that it's about earning, so here's 5-6 commandments for you to do. Oh, I've done all those. And then Jesus just zeroes in and says, there's one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Now, for him, it was money or his material possessions, which give him so much security and make him feel good about himself. He runs into Nicodemus. Nicodemus, keep in mind, is a very churchy guy. He's a very holy guy, and I think a sincerely holy guy, seeking that. But he is the teacher of Israel. That's what Jesus calls him. And they start this conversation, and Jesus just out of nowhere, just boom, he says, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Zeroes in on the one thing for Nicodemus, and that might be the one thing for you. You're dancing all around it. You're doing all the church stuff. You're reading the Scripture. You're memorizing Scripture. You're teaching Bible studies. But you haven't been born again, and you really, really don't like the idea of somebody telling you that. Jesus just drilled right down, you must be born again, Nicodemus. Forget all the other stuff. How about the Samaritan woman at the well? Now, they're having this conversation. They're going all over, and out of nowhere, he says, go get your husband. Wait a minute. Where'd that come from, Jesus? He's drilling down to the one thing. Well, I don't have a husband. Now, I know you don't have a husband. You've had 5. And you're living with a man now. So what is her one thing that he just drilled down to? Forget all the other stuff. It's that for her, happiness equals the right man. Now, there'd be some of you listening today that would have that same thought. Happiness equals the right woman or the right man. Now, there's nothing wrong with being happy with the right man or the right woman, but that's not what where your salvation is, and that is not where joy comes. It comes from Jesus. He says, if you've got to fill in the blank equals happiness, that's your one thing. And if you're not going to let it get in the way, if you're going to keep it there because you've got to insist on it, how about the next guy he runs into, the lame beggar? Think about this. This is John chapter 5, the guy laying by the water that gets stirred by the angels. And Jesus says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? See, because I got to ask you, do you want to get well? If you're holding on to that hatred of that person or that, I just will not view them in a light most favorable, they don't deserve it, then you really don't want to get well. If you're holding on to that bad habit, Jesus says, do you want to get well? That's your thing. That's your one thing. And then let me just finish that part of it up with this conversation with Peter. He's talking to Peter. We're on the beach. This is after he's been resurrected. This is after he's made the appearances. John chapter 21. Jesus fixes some breakfast and he pulls Peter aside. And you remember he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you remember that? Well, the first time he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? What do you think he was talking about? Do you love me more than these? And I think he was looking down at Peter's fishing equipment. Because remember, Peter has already gone back to fishing. He has seen the risen Jesus more than once, and yet he's gone back to fishing. His security is in his fishing, in the way he makes a living. That's what men do. They find their security, their self-identity, their self-worth, in what they do. And Jesus is saying, Peter, you're one thing. Your one thing is your self-reliance. Your one thing is the fact that you are a man and you find that manhood through the way you make your living. That was Peter's one thing. You find that one thing in your life. And let me just give you a couple of the promises. Jesus says in John 14:21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, whoever listens to that one thing, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him, and I will show myself to him. Now you think about that promise. When you take that one thing and you drive it out of your life, when you refuse to let it be a master over you, when you refuse to be a slave to it, Jesus says, I'll show myself to you. And I got to tell you, if you're listening today, there have been times in my life when I've gone through this process and I've rid myself of it, whatever that one thing was at the time, and Jesus has shown himself to me. I have seen him in my life, not directly, but even more than directly. I've felt his presence. I've had the clarity. I've sensed his will and what he wants. And it's just an incredible depth and a richness you cannot imagine. Jesus says, if you'll take that one thing, I'll show myself to you. Think about the promise that God gives us in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. See, that might be your one thing. Is it's a bodily habit that you have. It's something that you just... You know, it doesn't look that bad to the next person, but you know it has a mastery over you. Then God goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Getting that one thing out, then his promise, listen, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Now that's just clumsy language for you'll know God's will. You will know God's will, and it's good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. That is the promise when you take that one thing. That's all I want to talk to you about today is that one thing. You know, you're listening, you know what that one thing is. Will you free yourself from that one thing? Will you acknowledge it for what it is, a master, an idol, even a god? Or will you exchange that rich life and the light that Jesus wants for you for that one thing? I want to tell you that if you don't, it'll still be there a year from now. And 5 years from now, and 10 years from now, when you fail, when you refuse to attack that one thing. So, will you do that? Will you write down your one thing? Will you make that heart commitment to yourself and to your Heavenly Father? Yes, I know what it is. I'm not going to fool around. I'm not going to dance around it. I know what it is. There's one thing, and I want it out of my life because I want to please you. And I know what you want for my life. That one thing is all that God is asking of you right now. We'll talk about those other things later. That one thing. Listen, each week we publish on our website a recap of this week's topics. We call it the Putting Green. You can go listen and see a write-up about this topic, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.